Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today in a slightly different setting. Same space, but a slightly different setting. I heard a number of people being asked were they with the bride or the groom's side to be seated today. But it's lovely that we're sitting in the midst of our Through the Decades exhibition. We'll hear more about that later in our service. But you're welcome here, whether you're indeed in person or you're joining us online today. We bid you a really warm welcome in the name of Jesus as we come to worship and to gather together to declare that he is risen. That's not just an Easter Sunday declaration. That's a declaration that we as Christians can make every day of the year. We believe in a God who is alive, who is well, and who is at work in his world today. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed present with us. That you lived, died, and rose again. That all of the other religions in the world worship prophets who have died, but yet our God is alive and well and sends his Spirit to be with us as our advocate, our guide, and our helper until you return again. In this space and in this time, as we indeed set time aside to focus on you, may your Spirit inspire, direct, challenge, and comfort us as you know best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Noreen. So we continue our series on the Holy Spirit today. We've already considered who the Holy Spirit is. He's the one who draws alongside us. He's our advocate, our guide, our helper, if you like. He's the one who lives within us. We've saw that it's he, not it. He is a person, the third person of the Trinity. And so he comes to lead us into truth, to set us free, to reveal all things, to draw alongside us. And last week, Ricardo helped us to think about the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. And that sense of that whenever we are in Christ, whenever the Spirit lives in us, there are flavors that bubble out of us. And all of these come together. We show all of these out to the world around us. And today we come to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we do so, let's just take a moment to pause and to pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed present. We've done that already today. In that thanksgiving, it's an invitation of openness before you, that you would lead us and reveal to us a deeper understanding of your truth and of your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we get wrapped up in it, this can be one of the hotly contested topics in the life of the church. Often denominations have ended or begun from a particular perspective on this topic. However, if you asked anybody in the co-op about it, they would go, "What are you talking about? And why are you even arguing about that? Because it seems irrelevant to the world outside, the church inside." But is it? So in essence, what is the gifts of the Spirit? Well, some would simply say, well, we can dismiss them. They are simply natural talents. When you think about healing, wisdom, faith, prayer, those are all things that we seem, in one sense, to seek or to be able to do. We can all pray. We all should pray. One of the other gifts of the Spirit is evangelism. We should all be telling people about Jesus. So is it just a natural talent, or is it something different? The key element here probably sits within this comment, I think. There are different kinds of gifts, and there are different kinds of service. And there are different kinds of working of both of those, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. What are you talking about, James? I've just kind of paraphrased the most of the passage that Noreen has just read. And really, in essence, it comes down to this. Whenever we're, as Christians, whenever we give our life to Jesus, whenever the Holy Spirit is alive within us, the Scriptures teach us that he comes to give us gifts, to enable us and empower us to be different people from the world around us. And those gifts are given that we might glorify God. They're not to make me look good or you look good or to kind of make us look absolutely amazing. They are so that we can glorify God. They are pointers to someone who is bigger and higher than us. And they're also to edify each other. They're to build each other up. They're so that we can encourage and grow together. Verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so God is seeking that his church, the believers gathered in this place, would know him so intimately that we have a power within us that means that we can show the world around us that God is alive and well and exists. And we can do that in different ways. But in everything, we need to remember that we come back to the Scriptures. Whenever we talk about any of that stuff, we always have to come back to the Scriptures. We gauge everything by what it says in the Word of God and whether it is true or not from that place. Verse 1 of that passage says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that to the one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, whenever we are not in Christ, whenever we are not a Christian, whenever we are not believing in the living God, we can be led astray and we can allow our minds and our decisions to make truths out of anything. And we can see that in the world around us, that it's your truth, not my truth, and everybody else's truth. And that. But whenever we're believers in Jesus, he reveals something to us that enables us to stand with solidarity and say we believe in the same God. And it's for his purpose and his glory that we do what it is that we do. And so these different gifts, given by the same Spirit, but they have a purpose. And verse 7 tells us that they are for the common good. Now, Scripture also teaches us, not just in this passage, but there are lots of different passages in Ephesians and 1 Peter and into Exodus and into the Psalms that talk about the gifts that God gives to people. It tells us that he will give different gifts to different people. So we don't all have the same gift. Well, that's pretty obvious whenever we look around, because we all do different things in different ways. But it's great that he doesn't say, well, everybody's going to be an amazing evangelist, and so all of a sudden there's 100 people walking down the Belsize Road trying to convert everybody. No, he says within this church, the gifts of the Spirit will exist. There will be people whose heart will be to reach those who don't yet Jesus. There will be people whose heart is to pray. There will be people whose heart is to see that healing happens, to pray for healing within people. There will be people whose heart is so that we can start new things. The scriptures call them apostles, that there is something new within someone and going, oh, do you know what, James, I've got a wee idea that I think might work. And so we have these different gifts, but they all come together, joined into the same vine, so that the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all grows, blossoms, and flourishes. And so what I'm saying is you don't have to worry about being the best evangelist in the world if that's not the gift God has given you. You don't have to worry about being the best person at praying in the world if that's not the gift that God has given you. But if it is the gift he's given you, then you need to be using it. Now, not the words of the preacher, that's the words of the scriptures. And we all know that if we have something and we stop, and we stop using it, what happens? It just disappears. It dies, doesn't it? That kind of talent or gift within us, it ceases because we don't use it. That old phrase, practice makes perfect, isn't it? The more we use something, the more we become comfortable with it, and the more other people can see it within us. So this is the most common passage that people come to whenever we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The list here, but it's not an exhaustive list. Verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given a spirit and wisdom of message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge. By the same Spirit to another faith. By the same Spirit to another gifts of healing. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. And so there are different gifts amongst us. I don't know about you, but I know I have sat in meetings. And sometimes there's a conversation happens and it seems to be going around in circles. And then all of a sudden, someone who maybe doesn't speak enough a lot, but then says something. And all of a sudden, everybody in the room goes, ha, did he say that earlier? There's also a moment that there's a wisdom in there that they've been able to see that no one else has been able to see. It tells us here there's this gift of faith. Now, we all should have faith as believers, but the gift of faith is different. We all have faith in Jesus. We all have faith that God exists. We have faith that he can move mountains, that he can shine through us. We've experienced and said all that already today. But the gift of faith is something slightly different. The gift of faith is the one who steps into a situation and says, it's going to be okay. Now everybody else seems to be flapping about. The person steps forward and goes, it's going to be okay. God is in this. God is present, and he is able. And in a sense, that's the gift of faith. That's something extra within that person that comes from the Spirit within them that says they step up, and then they carry the faith of the other people in the room that little bit further. And so the gifts of the Spirit enable us to carry some other people that little bit further. And so it's really important that we all don't have the same gift, but that the gifts are dispersed amongst us. But it's also really important that we use the gifts that have been given to us. Otherwise, this body of believers will be lacking. It's not an exhaustive list. Others can be found elsewhere, but that verse 11 is also really important. These are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I'm really glad that elsewhere, we haven't read it today, but I think it's in the Ephesians passage. It talks about the list of gifts, and one of them is administration. I'm really glad some people have the gift of administration, because you want to see my study. It's lovely, isn't it, Shirley? Silence says it all. My wife has the gift of administration. She loves to administer, even me. But I remember shortly after we got married, and you can see my wonderful wife's wedding dress over there. Shortly after we got married, I remember I came home one night, and my little helper had been in my study and had filed all of the things in my study in an appropriate manner, that I couldn't find anything for the next 6 months. I have to say, the gift of the fruit of patience was not in me that night. And it might have been the last time my little helper has ever tidied my study. So administration is not my thing. I don't like doing it. I'm the kind of person who leaves administration to the very end, where it piles up on my desk and then I have to take a whole day to do it, rather than doing it a little bit at a time. You see lots of people nodding and looking at their partner. But other people love administration, and there are people in churches who love to do that. Put your hand up now so what I can give you. No. But you see, what I'm saying by that is, the gifts are given because actually you will enjoy it as much as it's a gift. But a gift, and it's described as a gift, has to be received. You have to be willing to take it and willing to use it. There's nowhere in the scriptures that I can say that these gifts ceased with the apostles, as some would say. They're given by the Spirit, and he desires for the purpose of glorifying God and edifying others, and they are present in the church today. And the danger comes whenever we misuse gifts, sometimes for our own agendas, to further a career or to enhance the ministry, and that is wrong. Well, look at me. I have a gift of healing. Everybody come to me, and I'm going to pray for you, and all of a sudden, everything's going to be okay. Oh, look at me, I'm the best missionary and evangelist in the whole of the world. You should bring me to preach at your church. We cannot misuse the gifts. We cannot use them to puff ourselves up, because it's not about you. It's not about me, but it is all about him. And so correctly use these gifts help us. Correctly use these gifts point to God, and correctly use these gifts bring others to know Jesus. So as a believer, as someone who believes in Jesus Christ and has the Holy Spirit living in you, then you have a gift, and sometimes more than one. Now, for some today, whenever I've said that, you're going, no, I don't think I do. Really not sure you have a gift. But you do. And sometimes people use it with the most humble attitude, that they don't even recognize it in themselves. But other people will see it and know it. But if you don't use it, it will die. And sometimes beginning to use it is the scariest moment in the world. I know I've shared before, and I know you always find it hard to believe, that I was quiet and shy and introverted as a child. And so whenever I began to realize that one of my gifts, if you like, was evangelism and was telling other people about Jesus. That means I'm going to have to talk to people. I don't like talking to people. That means I'm going to have to stand in front of people. I can't do that. And so I walked away from that for quite a few years before I eventually gave in and said, yes, Lord, if this is of you, then enable me to do it. And lo and behold, here we are today. And so actually, whenever you begin to realize the gift that God has given you You might think it's the scariest thing in the world to begin to use that gift, but it will be one of the greatest blessings that you have ever done. And we've listed lots of those big things today. The wisdom, faith, healing, prophecy, interpretation, tongues, evangelism, prayer, intercession, faith. But there are lots of other little gifts. I say little, and I realize that the Spirit's just convicted me in the sense of saying, don't say little gifts because it diminishes that particular gift. It's not diminishing it. But I use that word because sometimes we look at them and we think, that's not as big a gift as something else. But there are gifts of hospitality. There are those amongst us in this place who are oozing hospitality. Hello, how are you? My name is, you're very welcome here. Hello, would you like to go and get a cup of tea or coffee someday? Do you know what? I'd like to open my house and invite a few people to come round and share some time with me. So the gift of hospitality creates the space for someone like me who has the gift of evangelism to begin to share Jesus. But if the gift of hospitality is not being worked out, then the spaces for me to do it are less. Do you see? And the gifts all work together. There's the gift of craftsmanship, of making things to glorify God. Just look around you today. This didn't happen by accident. This was put together by people who have a gift of putting things together, of administration, of making things, of craftsmanship, of enabling this to happen. So whenever people come into this building, and let me tell you, over the last 2 days, and it's on again this afternoon, but over the last 2 days, the number of conversations that I've had with people who have never been in this building before. But I've been able to have a conversation, not about wedding dresses, that's how it starts, but I've had a conversation about Jesus with, has been unbelievable. But I couldn't have had that opportunity to have a conversation about Jesus as an evangelist without all of those other gifts being used to create the space for me to do it in. That's the gifts working together to glorify God and to edify each other. So my plea today is that you consider what gift you have and use it wisely. Because it's not about you, but it is all about Him. And as we all use our gifts, this place, by the grace of God, will shine even brighter in the years and in the decades yet to come. So whenever somebody else says, the last time we did it through the decades was for 60 years, now it's 120, maybe we should do it again. What do you think, Noreen? Because actually, if we don't use our gifts today, this church might not be shining a light in decades to come. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you have given us these gifts and you enable us to be ourselves, but also empowered by you to share and to show. Help us in all that we do, mindful that you're present. In Jesus' name. As well. But we close today with words from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.